Hey, guys.
Hey, Laurel.
Hey, Laurel.
So the governor introduced his second state budget this week.
Yeah, and, you know, he had a pretty big act to follow. I mean, his last budget proposed a lot, to put it mildly.
Yeah, a giant increase for schools.
And legalizing medical marijuana, that was in there.
Yeah, and don't forget, he would have expanded Medicaid.
So he went really big last time. How do you top yourself 2 years later?
If you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. It's one louder, isn't it? You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
Exactly.
Last budget, medical marijuana. This year, recreational marijuana.
Taking it to 11.
And forget about $1.4 billion for schools. How about $1.6 billion for schools in this budget?
Classic, taking it to 11.
Yeah, and last time, people said his budget was basically a laundry list of every policy Democrats wanted during the Walker years. Well, this time, he added one more, partially repealing Act 10.
More like Act 11, am I right? This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week on the podcast, the governor's budget turned up to 11.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Stonehenge, 'tis a magic place where the moon doth rise with a dragon's face. Stonehenge.
And that rocking odyssey is the song Stonehenge by the fictional rock group Spinal Tap from the soundtrack to the 1984 mockumentary film This Is Spinal Tap, along with some sound from that movie, the classic Turning It Up to 11 scene, which really seems like what Governor Evers was going for this week in his state budget proposal.
So, John, I thought it was interesting that you called Spinal Tap a fictional rock band, because I feel like if they make me feel the music, whether they're performing or not, is I feel like they're real rockers at that point, you know?
I mean, they're arguably more real than actual rockers.
How's that?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
This is now a philosophical podcast.
Distilled caricatures of actual rock bands, which in fact makes them actually more representative of rock stars than rock stars themselves.
Yeah.
This is taking me back to like college English. I feel like I would write a paper about this. Like,
ooh.
Performative.
I hear ya.
Culture and identity in the 21st century or something.
Yeah. Makes you think. Makes you think.
So,
a good podcast, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some budget. We can't leave yet. Come on. Give the people what they want.
This is one of our biggest weeks of the year, you know, of the biennium, really, the 2 year. Mm-hmm.
So you tag-teamed coverage of the governor's budget address earlier this week. Who wants to go first?
Well, okay. There's just so much in this budget. That it's going to be hard for us to summarize. And I think maybe just for a little while, Laurel and I can just like kind of trade stuff that was in it. You know, I'll say something, Laurel can say something. And John, you just maybe just cut us off eventually. Because we'll
yeah,
just...
yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, what I want from you here is to explain the important points of the budget, but also do it in like a short and engaging way.
All right. Our motivation. Okay. Go.
Well, there's a lot more money in this budget, $91 billion. There's about a 10% spending increase. So, you know, that's pretty substantial. You think like a couple years ago, we all thought like the world was ending, state government was going to have any money. And now we have a budget that was, it's bigger than ever. You know, there's a lot of revenue increases, tax increases in there for manufacturers, for capital gains, taxes on recreational marijuana. There's a lot of money in this budget.
Yeah. Laurel? I mean, yeah. So I think that you know, in addition to the kind of rosier financial picture that we thought, you know, we thought that the COVID-19 pandemic was going to have a really negative effect on revenues for the state, right? Well, turns out it hasn't been too bad. We're actually in a pretty good financial place. So you take that and then you put on top of that some revenue from recreational marijuana, from taking more federal Medicaid money, from that capital gains tax that Sean mentioned, changes to the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit. The governor had a lot of money to work with, and he decided to spend it. So some of the big kind of big ticket items, the biggest ticket item is that $1.6 billion increase for K-12 education that we mentioned in the intro. That is the most sizable ask in the governor's budget. About $700 million of that is for special education funding. Right now, the state only reimburses school districts for like 29% of special education costs, according to the governor's office. This budget would take it up to about 50% by the end of the biennium. Really big price tag there.
I would just jump in and say, going off your education riff, more money for higher education too. Substantially more. I mean, the governor's office says this would be the biggest increase in state funding for the University of Wisconsin system in two decades. And that's not hard for me to believe when you look back at what these two decades have brought. University got cut a lot under Governor Jim Doyle because the state was coming out of this recession. Walker comes into office, again, another recession, and lots of university cuts under Walker. And so now you have Evers giving them a lot of what they wanted in terms of state funding. He would continue a tuition freeze for the university, but he would backfill it with $50 million in state funding. So to make up for that lost revenue, he'd give them just kind of new pots of money to deal with, let the university borrow, give them bonding authority, which is something that they have wanted for certainly under former Governor Thompson's leadership in the UW system. So lots in education there too.
Yeah. And in terms of other big stuff, like big increases, the governor says that this budget for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, this proposal is more than the last three budgets combined for WEDC. That's some funding. He wants to give them $200 million to do kind of economic recovery from the pandemic work. Some of that funneled directly to local, like county, municipal economic development organizations across the state. There's a really large increase we've reported on this before for broadband expansion. He wants about $200 million for that as well. The last budget just had $54 million for broadband, so pretty big increase.
Which was big,
there.
And now he's turning this up to... This is like practically to 12, actually, when you talk about how much he's spending on broadband in this budget. And I think it's interesting, too, Laurel, I cut you off here. And so I will yield my my time here in just a moment. But WEDC, this is something that the governor campaigned on getting rid of like a couple years ago. He said he was going to get rid of WEDC. I guess they don't like us to say WEDC anymore. They want us to say the WEDC, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Sorry, habits die hard. But that's now like the it's one of the foundations of his budget is all this money for the WEDC. Sorry, Laurel, back to you.
I was just going to continue my list of things that are kind of expensive. In a similar vein to WEDC, $100 million for venture capital for startups across Wisconsin. $80 million for refurbishing the state's unemployment insurance system. That was a big item in the news this week. We've got this was an interesting one. This isn't like a huge price tag in terms of, you know, when you compare it to the other stuff, but $1.8 million to begin the process of developing a state-administered public health option for healthcare. Pretty big policy proposal there.
That'd be a big policy shift, right? If the Affordable Care Act were to go away, public option, because I remember the debate over Obamacare and the idea of a public option was not controversial at all.
Nope, not at all.
And then I feel like, okay, so I don't have any other good like price tag proposals to talk about, but then there, and these things come with price tags, obviously, but big policy proposals are like the partial repeal of Act 10, obviously.
I do remember that was a little controversial. Yes.
A bit.
And so getting rid of that, getting rid of Act 10 for frontline workers, which is how the governor's budget describes it, would be a big policy change because I think, and we don't know this for sure. I'd like to see, you know, a memo from the Fiscal Bureau or some other legislative service agency on this, but frontline workers, the way it's defined, seems like it would include teachers. So among other groups, nurses, of course, people who interact with the public basically would have their union rights restored. It's a pretty big group of people.
And, you know, just kind of going down the line, we had Act 10 there. Think about another really partisan issue that's gotten a lot of attention and will continue to get a lot of attention over the next couple of years, redistricting. The governor would require the legislature in this budget to take up maps drawn by a nonpartisan commission, that People's Maps Commission that he created. There would be universal background checks for firearm purchases. He would completely redo the state's juvenile justice system. That Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake closure obviously hasn't gone according to plan. So the governor sort of reinvigorates that, revisions?
What's the re-envisions?
Re-envisions. There we go.
Reimagines?
Reimagines.
I would go with reimagines.
Reimagines.
I don't know if re-envisions is a word either.
That's fair. Yeah.
It's so a podcast.
He re-envisioned. We're going to cut this for sure.
Leave that in. Lincoln Hills. Okay.
He's talking about Lincoln Hills again.
And
yes.
Even though Scott Walker talked about it and hasn't closed, and Evers talked about it and it hasn't closed, he's decided to, in his budget, say, here's the new plan.
Right, which would focus more exclusively on those community-based mental health centers instead of having like a tiered system where some are run by the state and some are run by counties, and it would just be a little bit more simplified, I guess, than the previous plan.
So for folks who aren't familiar with a state budget process here in Wisconsin, all of this stuff is just governor proposes it, and that's what goes into law, right?
Yeah, we're done now.
All right, podcast over.
I will actually say 2 years ago, we knew that Republicans wouldn't support a lot of this stuff, but we didn't know exactly how it was going to go, you know, kind of from a mechanical, you know, or technical standpoint. Where is this going to be? Are they going to debate it? Whatever. And so what they did a couple of years ago is they had this one motion to start out the budget process in the Finance Committee, where they just had pages upon pages of the governor's stuff. And they just said, we're taking this out. This is gone. It was all one fell swoop, you know. There was no forcing them to have these debates in joint finance and forcing them to vote on these things one by one. They just decided, no, we're not going to do that. So now we know that's an option for them. And I think it's pretty clear that's the route that they're going to go on a lot of this stuff. I don't see them feeling pressure, you know, like legalization of marijuana. Medical marijuana is extremely popular in Wisconsin. According to an April 2019 Marquette poll, 83% support it. Recreational, less popular, but still like 59% support a couple years ago. I don't see that like pressuring Republicans to hold a debate on marijuana as part of the budget. I think they're going to swoop it out along with a lot of the other stuff. Act 10, minimum wage, redistricting, you name it. I think we know it's gone.
We didn't even mention the minimum wage before you just threw it out there, but that's another part of the budget, was increasing the minimum wage to $8.60 and then $9.40 and then $10.15 over, between now and 2024, and also creating a task force for raising it to $15 an hour. That's something that different numbers, but same concept that he proposed in the last budget that was, you know, one of those things that lawmakers removed really quickly in the process.
Yeah. So just to make doubly clear, to answer my own stupid question from a second ago, this is not where it ends. The governor introduces his budget proposal, but like you were just saying, the legislature then has a whole bunch of options in terms of putting their stamp on the budget too. You know, it goes back and forth and back and forth, and there's a whole lot of disagreement because it's divided government. One thing I want to point out, though, that I think is important is that it's not just disagreement on these specific proposals, the spending proposals, the policy proposals that you guys were outlining, that it's also the amount of revenue itself that Governor Evers says the state has to spend is up for debate, because that pot relies on things like the marijuana legalization and tax stuff, like we mentioned. So even that is up for debate, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I think anything in this budget that would get tax revenue from his recreational marijuana proposal, that revenue is probably not there. I think other pieces of the budget, when it comes to revenue, you know, he's that in the recent past, Republicans didn't want to do those tax increases on, you know, wealthier manufacturers, or, you know, getting rid of that tax credit for manufacturers. So that money's not there. Republicans did not want to scale back a tax break for a wealthier residents on capital gains. So that money's not probably there. Another thing we haven't even talked about, the governor signed a bill this week that will result in drawing down the state's balance by more than $400 million. Because when the state, you know, when the Fiscal Bureau came up with its estimate on where the state's general fund is, that money was presumed to be there. The state was set to tax this federal coronavirus aid to businesses, these PPP mm-hmm. payments. And what the legislature did this week and what the governor signed is said, no, the state will not tax that money. And so it's going to, that is, if you're looking at it strictly from a state budget point standpoint, that's going to cost the state like $400 million plus. So that money's gone. So I don't really know where this budget begins. You know, there's a lot less money than what we're, it's not a $91 billion budget when all is said and done, probably. And that includes state and federal funding. But I just don't know how much money is really there when you start taking away these things that either you know is a are non-starters with Republicans, or, you know, stuff like the governor just signed this week that's going to swipe that money right off the table.
Yeah, I mean, another thing there is the Medicaid expansion. The governor's office estimated that that was going to save the state about $633 million over 2 years. That's a huge amount of money that is spent elsewhere in this budget. So you talk about lawmakers taking out a bunch of these proposals. I mean, they're not just taking out the things that spend money. They're taking out the things that put money on the table. And so is it fair to call it starting from scratch when they are removing so many things on both sides of the ledger? Arguably, right? I mean, they're changing like the real DNA of this budget when they take out so many things on both sides.
That's good. I like that. Changing the real DNA.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to copy that and put it in a story.
On the fly.
Claim it as my own.
The three people who listen to this podcast will know, though, Sean. They will know.
That was Laurel's idea.
So then I guess my next question is, if you're the governor, why put out this giant budget that takes it up to 11 compared to the one 2 years ago, when you know so many of these things are very, very likely going to be non-starters amongst Republicans in the legislature?
Well, I mean, like, we know that budgets are fundamentally political documents, right? I mean, budgets put out by the executive are always about what their political priorities are. They're kind of a values statement. They're about you know, this is what I stand for and this is what I think we should spend money on. And it's, you know, if Evers doesn't do that and sort of plant the flag of, you know, I'm a Democratic governor and these are the things that I would do if I had, you know, complete and total leeway to do so, he's not establishing what his goals are, you know, and what he stands for. So it's just kind of part of the process, as kind of an annoying as it may be to pragmatists out there. It's somebody saying, this is what I think is valuable, whether or not it's going to happen or not. Do you feel like that's fair, Sean?
Yeah. Oh, man, if you're a pragmatist, you probably do not want to follow state government news all that closely, because the system that we have is both sides kind of do their own thing and know that, like, they have I'll use the word enemy. I mean, let's say political enemy that will... It's a dance, you know. Evers proposes this budget knowing a big portion of it is going to be taken out by Republican lawmakers, but he forces them to take a stand against popular things. He put popular things in there that he knows they won't like, but, you know, he's on the record as supporting them, and they will be on the record as opposing them. It's not the budget, but they are passing bills left and right this year that they feel are popular, certainly popular with their constituents, and they're going to put him in a position to veto it. They know he will. It's just this dance we have going back and forth. And so for Evers, yeah, he's probably going to lose on a lot, probably. I mean, he's going to lose on a lot of these fights, but he's happy to do it because it puts down a marker. The other thing with him is, let's say he put out a more modest budget on school funding, whatever. Do you think that Republicans would just accept it? Be like, you know, I think you struck the right balance here, Governor. Let's pass it and move on. No, man, they're going to cut his budget or they're going to say, you know, I think we could actually use this in a different way. I mean, there's going to be a give and take. And so I think in today's hyper-partisan world, I think that the world that we live in is one where Evers asks for a bunch and they will take a bunch back and they'll meet somewhere in the middle, but it's a different place than it would have been had he asked for less to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well explained. So if that's why the governor is playing these budgetary riffs turned up to 11, what have we heard so far from Republican rock critics?
What did Speaker Voss called it? A house of sand was one of the things that caught our ear that night.
He was specifically talking about the revenue streams, saying the revenue streams were a house of sand, I think.
Yeah.
Because the budget is built on revenue, right? And if it's built on revenue that doesn't exist or isn't solid in the speaker's opinion, then it all collapses, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is that a saying?
I know. I'm not sure if it... I knew what he meant right away.
Because, yeah, like, I get the idea. Like, you don't want to, like, build a house on, you know, sandy soil. Otherwise, the foundation will be unstable and you might end up with a big crack or something.
Really, a house of sand is, isn't that like a big bad wolf situation, though? Where
the whole thing could just be built. But that's also, I think, illustrates the speaker's point. If the budget could just be blown over by one huff and puff.
Good point. Yeah. I don't know.
There are a lot of layers here.
It makes you think, yeah. Man.
And yet all the layers are just layers of sand.
One other quote that so Republicans held this press conference the night of the budget. And one other quote that kind of jumped out to me was Amy Loudenbeck. And it wasn't like a great punchy soundbite quote. Other people said, oh, it's just, this is like Groundhog Day, or, you know, the governor didn't listen. This is a liberal wish list. Amy Loudenbeck just got up there and said, you know, he's had 2 years to put together this budget and his whole budget staff and all the agencies, and this is what he came up with, and we have to be the adults in the room. You know, she just kind of kept going. I felt like she was really speaking her mind. Which is kind of fun. And then
she's on the budget committee. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah, she is the assembly vice chair, I believe, of the finance committee. And then you had a WISP politics forum this week with the Republican co-chairs of the budget committee, Mark Bourne and Howard Markline. They're new co-chairs for the first time in a long time in the budget committee. And they were asked about some of the key pieces of the governor's budget. And they sort of began their answers in the Scott Fitzgerald mode of answering. Well, we have to talk it over as a caucus first. But they had a lot of, but I don't support this, and we haven't supported this in the past. So, you know, you could kind of gather from their comments that, you know, legalizing recreational marijuana in the budget is not going to happen. You know, raising the minimum wage in the budget is not going to happen. They also said they're not going to increase school funding as much as Tony Evers did. Mark Bourne said that. They also said stuff like, we didn't even mention this in our summary, but giving counties sales tax authority if they go to referendum. Sounds like that's probably not going to happen based on what they said in this forum. So, John, to summarize, the response has been like the word no uttered in a variety of ways over the last few days.
I feel like, you know, in the responses, it is sort of like a cacophony of no's. But I did notice when I was going through the Republican responses that there was a consistent positive message about one thing. And I feel like it was just the one, it was a repeated one thing. And so I think there's probably momentum there. And that's for the broadband expansion. Yep. I feel like a lot of Republicans mentioned, like, don't like the governor's budget, but I was glad he mentioned broadband.
Yeah. So.
Well, that'll be the entire budget. Like, no funding for anything else, just broadband.
Look, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And this legislature under Walker was they didn't put in as much as Evers did in the last budget, right? They never found that much money for broadband before. And broadband's been popular for a while. So finding that much money for broadband will be tough if they want to get rid of all this revenue.
And just sort of procedurally speaking, again, for people who don't follow the state budget process with rapt attention, what is the next step going forward after Evers makes his address and introduces this budget and Republicans say, nah, man, nah, except for broadband, but like really, nah.
Well, we know that last time the first thing they did was remove all of those dozens of things that they didn't agree with. Somebody asked, I think they asked Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu if that was going to be the procedure this time, and he sort of deferred to the finance co-chairs, and I don't think they offered a concrete answer one way or another, but LeMahieu sort of said, I would imagine that would be where it would start this year again, to just kind of do that sweep of the stuff that they don't like out of the budget. That would be kind of step one, and then they start going, you know, agency by agency
on the votes. Although usually what happens first is they have public hearings on the budget. And I'm not sure I heard a totally clear answer. They were asked about that at this WISP Politics Forum. And I'm not sure we heard a totally clear answer on how that's going to go with COVID. Because they do want to travel around the state and have these hearings. And just generally speaking, come watch our legislature if you want sort of a microcosm of how the political parties view getting together in a room to talk about politics right now. I mean, Democrats would prefer to have a virtual option, and Republicans do not seem worried. And so if they go hold these public hearings around the state, is there going to be a virtual option, or are we looking at hearings where the Republican side of things is more willing to testify on these than the Democratic side of things?
And usually there's, what, five of those?
Yeah, five, six, a ballpark. Yeah. And they travel around to districts represented by people on the committee, usually. And people get to testify for 2 minutes at a time, and then they have to read the statements really fast, and then they stop, and it's very helpful.
Government at work. Well, rest assured that this is just the first of many podcasts that is going to touch on this process. It's going to be turned up to 11 the whole time. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nurse.
Stonehenge, where a man for man and the children dance to the pipes of Pan.
If you're looking for more of what I can guarantee you is the loudest podcast on the internet, you can get new episodes delivered to you almost every single week when you subscribe to the WPR Politics Podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. Give it 11 stars. And you can catch up on all of our greatest hits anytime at wpr.org/politicspodcast.
We'll go back in time. Cry.